for Scott Gundy and his neighbors, November 8th of this year was a day to pick up pieces of a tornado that left their community devastated. Scott and his family live in Washington, Illinois. He said, I don't know what we're going to do, he told Matt Lauer in an emotional interview on the Today Show. I found pieces of my house 100 yards northeast of me. We'll be looking for bits and pieces today. The evening before, Gundy had just gotten home from a grocery store when the tornado approached his neighborhood. He was in the backyard taking pictures of the sky when he realized how close he was to disaster. I just happened to turn south and here it comes. It was almost right on top of me. Just me and my son were out in the backyard. We're running into the house. Right as we're running into the house and going into the basement, my windows just disintegrated toward me. Stuff is flying all over the place. And finally, we got to the basement and then just woof. My house started rumbling and it just went right over us. I got glass flying all over the place, shrapnel of all kinds of stuff. I got 2x4 that just threw two of my walls inside my house. Once the twister flew over his home, his family emerged from their basement to find an eerie silence. Gundy's neighbors also began to emerge, crawling out of their basements. What they found was complete devastation. Homes leveled, cars in trees. At least 6 people died in that severe weather system that tore across Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, and Ohio. All his earthly possessions and many others around him gone like that. No wonder he told Matt Lauer, I don't know what we're going to do. Probably none of us here this morning have ever been in a storm like that. Now, maybe you have, but probably none. But you know what? We all go through the storms of life. Every one of us goes through storms. There are physical storms, financial storms, relationship storms, parental storms, accident storms, marital storms, occupational storms, and then the final storm, the storm of death. We all go through the storms of life. In this life, we all go through one kind of a storm or another. We go through them. Back, and I know you remember this, back when we went through chapter 8 of Matthew, you all remember that the disciples were out in a storm. You remember that? Yeah, some of you are saying yes, and some of you are... Yeah, we talked about that, and we saw back in chapter 8 how we are to respond in the time of a storm. The title of that sermon that I preached was How to Navigate the Storms of Life. And we kind of looked at the storms from what we are supposed to do or how we are to respond when the storms hit. Well, today we're going to be looking, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 14. We're going to be looking at storms a little differently, not from how we are to respond in the storms of life, but we see in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36, what Jesus does when we're encountering the storms of life. In this passage, the disciples are in another storm. But we look at this and we examine it Not what are they to do? How are they going to navigate this one? But what is Jesus doing when his children, when his disciples get in a storm? What does Jesus do? Now, sometimes we might think, well, maybe, does Jesus really, is he doing anything when I'm going through that storm? Oh, yes. I want us to see this today. Jesus has a ministry. He ministers in the storm. And I want to see this. And I want us to be encouraged. You may be going through. We have some people here today that are going through storms. And maybe you're going through a storm. If you're not today, watch out tomorrow. Because you never know when a storm's going to hit. But I want us to see this, and I want us to be encouraged. Because when you are in a storm, Jesus is at work. Now, I want to share with you this morning 5 things Jesus does on our behalf when we are in the storms of life. Number one, Jesus prays for us. Jesus prays for us. Verses 22 through 24. In verse 22, it says that he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he sent the crowds away. He made them. He compelled them to get into the boat. Verse 23, after he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. And verse 24, but the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, I want you to note some things just from those 2 verses. First of all, note that the disciples were in the will of God when the storm hit. You know, being in the storms of life do not necessarily indicate you're out of the will of God. Now, that can indicate that. Remember Jonah? Jonah, God told him to do something, and he decided he had a better idea and went the opposite direction, and he encountered a storm. So sometimes we can create our own storms. Thank you for that amen. That's true. But the disciples were not running from God. They were running with God. They obeyed Jesus. He said, get in the boat, go to the other side. And right in the middle of obeying the Lord, they encountered a storm. They encountered a storm. They ran smack dab into a storm. The boat was battered by the waves. The wind was contrary. Now note a second thing. That Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. And he was up on the mountain. And as he was up on the mountain, he had a bird's eye view of what was going on down on the lake. He could see down on the lake. He knew that the disciples, he knew what they were going through. He knew about the storm. Mark chapter 6, there's a parallel account to this. And in Mark 6:48, it says, seeing them, Jesus, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was contrary. Jesus was aware of what they were going through. He was aware of the storm, and he was praying. Now, it doesn't tell us in the text what Jesus was praying, but I'm going to tell you what he didn't pray, at least not at this time. He didn't pray, Father, calm the storm. Relieve them from this storm. He didn't pray that. How do I know that? Because it didn't happen. Remember back in chapter 8? Jesus stood up and said what? Peace, be still. What happened? The lake was like glass. And if Jesus would have prayed that, folks, you know what? The storm would have been over. He didn't pray that. He was watching down on the lake. And let me tell you, he was praying with his eyes open. He knew what they were going through, but he didn't pray for the storm to be removed. So what did he pray? Again, we're not told what he prayed, but I'm going to share with you what I think he prayed. I think he prayed something like this. I think he prayed, Father, through this storm, strengthen their faith. Use this storm, Father, to strengthen the faith of my disciples. I think he prayed that. I think he prayed, Lord, Father, through this storm, grow their character. Do you know God is really concerned about our character? Did you know that? He's really concerned about what kind of a person we are in our character. Grow their character. Make them men of integrity. Purify their hearts, Father, through this storm. Father, may these winds of adversity drive them closer to us. That's what I think he prayed. What a beautiful picture this is of Christ's ministry today to his followers. I want to tell you, folks, Jesus is on the mountain. Jesus is on the mountain. He's watching down, and he intercedes for us. In the storms of life, Jesus Christ is aware of what you're going through and aware of what I'm going through. He doesn't have just a bird's eye view. He has a heaven's eye view of what's going on down here. He sees us out on the tempestuous sea of life. And he prays for us. How do you know he prays for us, Pastor? Because Scripture tells us that, doesn't it? You remember Hebrews 7:25? That it says that he is able to save, King James, to the uttermost, all those who come to him through faith. For he ever lives to make intercession for us. That's what Jesus is doing in heaven. He's finished his work of salvation. He said, it is finished. He's done with that. But he is a high priest in heaven, and he's praying for his kids. He prays for us. Romans 8:33-34. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus is the one who died, yea, who rose again, who is now at the right hand of the Father and interceding for us. He prays for us when we're in the storm. He prays for us. This is a picture of what he's doing today, watching down. He knows what we're going through. And he prays for us. You know why? Because he loves you. And he loves me. Isn't that amazing? He loves you. And he's praying for you. In the storms of life, Jesus prays for us. I think he probably prays what he prayed for them. Sometimes I like it when he prays, Father, calm the storm. But a lot of times he says, Father, increase Les's faith. Father, build his character. He's got some flaws here. Build that character. Purify that heart. Form me in him. He prays for us in the storms. Secondly, another thing Jesus does in the storm, not only does he pray for us, he comes to us. Look at verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Wow. When did he come to them? It says in the fourth night, fourth watch of the night. That, folks, is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Between 3 and 6. And that's the darkest time of the night. Darkest time of the night. That's when he came. How did he come? He came in a way that they would have never expected. He was walking on the sea. Do you really believe that? Well, says our liberal scholar friend, you don't believe that's that, do you? Come on! You guys can't believe he didn't walk on the sea. Actually, what happened was Jesus was walking on the beach, on the shore, and his disciples, it was dark. The storm was raging, and the disciples just thought he was walking on the water. I mean, we know no one can walk on water, right? I mean, that's preposterous to think that. Unless you believe the Word of God. Because the Word of God is very specific, isn't it? Verse 25 and verse 26, twice it says, he came to them walking on the sea. Doesn't say he walked along the beach. Doesn't say he's found some stepping stones. He came walking on the water. It's a miracle of nature. And God can do this because he made the sea. And he can do anything he wants. And somebody that doesn't believe this, they don't have a problem with the miracle. They have a problem with theology. They have a problem with God. Their God's too small. Because our God, the God of the Bible, can do anything that's not contrary to his nature. Can't sin. But nothing is impossible with our God. He came to them supernaturally in a way they would never expect. Now, what does God say to us? You know, folks, God has not promised us a storm-proof life. But you know what he has promised us? That he will be with us in the storm. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in storms. That's the revised Sutherland version. But it says, in times of trouble, and storms are times of trouble. I'll be with you. I'm a very present help. He comes to us. So don't miss him in the storm. Don't miss the Lord, because it's in the storms of life that he comes. He comes. And you know what I found? He comes sometimes in the darkest hour. Yes. When I'm just about ready to give up, when I think there's no hope, Jesus arrives. He comes sometimes in the darkest hour. And you know what? He comes in ways that we would never expect him. And I was going to give you some ways that he's come, and I'm not even going to do that because, you know, he comes in so many unexpected ways that the ways he comes to me, he probably will come to you in a different way. You never expect it. But look for him. Look for him in the storm. Because that's one of the things he does. He comes. He draws near. He wants to be closer to you than you have ever experienced in your life. He comes in the storm. He wants you to see him in a new light as he comes supernaturally on the sea. He prays for us in the storm. He comes to us in the storm. And then thirdly, he speaks to us and encourages us in the storm. Verses 26 and 27. Look at what the disciples said here. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. That word means to be blown away with terror. They were more frightened at him than they were of the storm. And they said, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" They cried out, it says, in fear. Nothing like this had ever taken place. No wonder they were afraid. They thought it was an apparition. They thought it was a ghost. I mean, what would you think? Just put yourself, you're in that boat and you see somebody coming walking on water. But look what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, and I love this, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Wow. So much in that. Three aspects. First of all, he says, take courage. He encourages them with his word. Take a hold of courage. Then he says, it is I. That is the words, ego ami. Ego ami. That can be translated, it's I myself. But over in John 8:58, very interesting translation of those, ego eimi. You remember when the religious leaders were questioning Jesus, and Jesus said, you know what? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Religious leaders put their hands on their hips and they said, what? You're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? You remember what Jesus said? Before Abraham was, ego ami, I am. I am the name of God. That's what Jesus said on the water. Take courage, ego ami, I am. Guys, I am the master of the sea. I am the master of the wind and the waves. I've got it covered. I'm in control. It is I. Do not be afraid. Let me tell you something. As children of God, there is no storm that we go through that we need to be afraid of. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, we get afraid. I get afraid sometimes. I'll be honest, I do. But we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Back in 1974, my wife and I decided that we were going to take a trip. We spent every dime we had, every penny we had to take this trip. We went with our pastor and with a number of other Christians on a trip to the Middle East. We went to Greece, we went to Egypt, we went to Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Israel. We went to Israel, Joy. Spent 3 weeks there. To do that, again, we had to spend everything we had. Little did we know that when we came back home, we didn't know what storms awaited us. Because we got back home, and I worked as an engineer for Ford Motor Company, and I went into work probably a couple weeks. I can't remember exactly the time, but a couple weeks after we got back, and someone came to me and handed me a little pink slip. For those of you that don't know, I lost my job. We hit a financial occupational storm. Remember, we just spent everything we had. Interesting. And little did we know that a short time after that, we'd run into another storm. Because this was in October, November, and that November, we traveled from Detroit back to Pittsburgh to go to our parents' homes for Thanksgiving. That was 1974. And we traveled back home. We had a nice Thanksgiving. And that Sunday, we left Pittsburgh at 12 noon. As we started to leave, the snow started to come down. By the time we reached the Pennsylvania Turnpike, it was coming down pretty good. By the time we got from the Pennsylvania Turnpike to the Ohio Turnpike, it was blizzard. I mean, it was coming down. Do you remember the snowstorm of 1974? Some of you. Well, we were in that. And we started counting cars that went off the road and were in the medial strip and had gone off the road. We started counting. We quit counting at 100. Linda said, "Les, we got to pull off." I used to be stubborn. I said, "We are not pulling off. We're going. I'm getting to Detroit. I don't care what happens. I'm getting there." She said, "Les, I have friends in Cleveland." Believe that, she had friends in Cleveland. We're from Pittsburgh. "If we pull off, I know they'll let us stay at their house. Pull off, Les, pull off." I said, "I'm getting home to Detroit." And so we went on and on. And by 1 a.m., remember we started at 12 noon, 1 a.m., we got to Toledo. 13 hours. And the highway patrol closed the highway. I think it's I-75. Who knows? I-75 going up to Detroit. They closed it. And they were directing all traffic off into Toledo. So we got off and we're driving along. We're looking for some place to stay. And the hotels had people stationed out at the entrance of their parking lots going like this. "No room, no room." Linda looked at me. She said, "If I was pregnant, I would think we were marrying Joseph. I told you we should have stopped in Cleveland." I've often thought, I wonder if Mary said when they got the bell, "I told you we should have stopped at Ephraim." No, well. Well, we got to a hotel that nobody was out there going like this. And we got in and I parked in the hotel lot. And went inside and I said, "Sir, I'd like to get a room." He said, "There hasn't been a room in Toledo since 9 o'clock. This is an emergency. But since it is an emergency, you can sleep here in the lobby." Very interesting. That night, the lights went out in the hotel, and the only place that had heat was the lobby. God takes care of his kids. But we slept there. We ended up staying there 2 days, 2 full days and 3 nights. 3 nights and 2 full days. And God spoke to us. God spoke to us. You know what he said? "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And he said something else. I'll never forget this. He spoke to my wife. And he said, "Linda, you and Les are to go to seminary." He had spoken to my heart before, but it was in the storm when he got us aside a little bit, he spoke to her heart and said, you are to go with your husband to seminary. And she came to me and she said, you know what? God spoke to me. We're to go to seminary. If he hadn't done that, I don't know if I'd ever gone into the ministry. God speaks in storms. And he encourages us. And if you're in a storm today, I want you to know. You know what he's saying to you? Take courage. Ego and me. I am. Don't be afraid. Fourth thing he does for us. He enables us. In the storms, he enables us. Verse 28 and 29. Now again, when I say he enables us, I'm not speaking of in a negative sense. You often hear today of enabling people in their sin. When I say that Jesus enables us, I speak of Jesus enabling us to do things with his power that we never in a million years thought we could ever do. Only Matthew in his gospel records this account of Peter in verses 28 and 29. Peter, acting in character, just like his impetuous, sanguine self, says in verse 28, look at verse 28. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Can you believe that? I'm sanguine in personality. I'm a little bit impetuous. I like to do dumb things like jump out of an airplane at 2.5 miles up. Or where's Randy? Drive on the wrong side of the road in Scotland for 3 days. That was much more scary than jumping out of the airplane. But there's no way I would ever thought of saying that. Lord, if it's you, command me to walk to you on the water. Oh my. And what's Jesus say? Come on. Come. And he did. He did. Not only Jesus walked on the water, Peter walked on the water. He was enabled by Jesus to do what in his own power and ability he could have never done. And God does the same thing for us in the storm. He enables us to do stuff that we never thought we could do. How many times have people come to me after they've gone through a devastating storm and said, Pastor, I never thought I could go through this storm and survive. And yet God gave me the strength and God gave me the grace. Pastor, I never thought I could survive the death of my loved one. Never thought I could do it. Pastor, I never thought I could ever survive finding out my son, was on drugs. Pastor, I never thought I could survive hearing my doctor say the C word. But God enabled me. God gave me grace. God gave me strength, supernatural strength, to do something in my own strength I could never do. I could never do it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk on water and not faint. Another Sutherland Revised. He enables us in the times of storm. When we rely on him, he gives us supernatural abilities. Oh! And I see people going, yeah, Pastor, I know what you mean. I know, I've been there. And then number 5, he upholds us in the storms of life. He upholds us. Verses 30 through 33. Again, if you're like me and Peter, when you're going through the storm, it's easy to get your eyes on the storm, off the Lord, and on the storm itself. Verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Have you ever been there? I mean, probably most of us have. We get our eyes off of Jesus. We begin to sink. We feel like we're going under. And I'll tell you what, Peter was there, and his prayer was not a flowery King James English prayer. Lord, save me! That's all he could say. And Jesus' response, verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why'd you doubt? Why'd you doubt? And Jesus held him up until they both got into the boat. You know, when I was thinking about that, I thought about a movie that I saw. I don't know if some of you probably have seen The Lord of the Rings. You remember in The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Remember that? You remember when Frodo got into the boat in Fellowship of the Ring and he starts across the lake by himself. And his friend Samwise Ganges comes down on the shore. And he says, Mr. Frodo, come back. And Frodo says, no, Sam, I got to do this by myself. I got to go by myself. And he said, I know, Mr. Frodo, but I'm going with you. And he starts coming out. He starts coming out and wading out into the lake as Frodo is rowing away. And he comes out and, Sam, go back, Sam. No, I'm coming with you. Sam, you can't swim. And Samwise keeps on coming out, and then he goes under. And the shot shows this friend under the water, and he's gone down. He's under the water. He has his hands up like this, and you think he's gone. And all of a sudden, a hand comes down and grabs him. Remember that scene? Pulls him up into the boat. What a beautiful scene that is. And you know, that's what Jesus does for us. When we get our eyes sometimes off of Jesus and onto the storm and we start going down, he reaches out his hand and he pulls us up. He pulls us up. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll tell you, when we're in storms and we fall, Jesus is there to hold us up. In the storm, Jesus prays for us. He comes to us. He speaks to us and encourages us. He enables us to do things we never thought we could do. And he upholds us with the right hand of his righteousness. And what's our response? Look at how they responded in closing. Verse 33. And those who were in the boat, what did they do? Worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we don't like going through the storms of life. And yet it is in the storms of life where you are ministering. And you want to draw near to us, speak to us, encourage us. And I want to pray, Lord, specifically for those in our church right now that are going through the storms. Lord, encourage them this day. And let our response always be, Lord, to worship you. Comfort your people, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.